You are on Joy 94.9 at Sunday Arts Magazine.
Our next guest is Brodie John. Brodie's here with Marissa Bennett, and they're doing a show at the moment called Burlesque by Force.
That's right.
Now, if that's not interesting as well, just the
yeah. Did you hear our last interview?
Oh no, I can't say I did.
Oh my god, you were too busy talking. but so interesting. But Brodie, just explain to people because you were on our show 6 months ago.
That's right.
What was that show and how did it go?
Yeah, so I was on here talking about a show called Yves St. John, which was in the Melbourne Fringe Festival. Yeah. It was an experiential work where people came in, heard audio of poetry I had written while I washed their hands, face and feet per their consent. So it was a consent practice work we were interested in.
In the dark, wasn't it?
No. Very well lit. There was another piece over the road that did it in the dark. Okay. And we actually got a lot of comments about how people felt really safe in our space, which is super important. It was about going, how do audiences respond to consent, you know, in theatre works that are interactive? So everyone got a lot of information up front. Anyway, the responses were wonderful, incredibly powerful in terms of people feeling like they were cared about, in terms of people really enjoying the poetry works themselves and a different way to experience poetry rather than going to, say, an open mic where you kind of just get, you know, verbalised at for a while, which, you know, I don't devalue. It's a wonderful experience to hear poetry in that setting, but it was a different way of doing it. So, and we got a great response and a few Joy listeners came along, which was really wonderful. So we're hoping that a few Joy listeners listening now will be getting along to the next one that we've got coming up as well. That'd be nice.
Now, you've got a collaborator with this one.
We do.
And tell us a little bit, how did you meet each other and what's your connection?
It's a good story, Marissa.
It is. We met at a New Year's Eve party a few years ago and bonded over a Tori Amos remix. Really? That was kind of it, really. Yeah.
So what's your background? Have you done much of this stuff before?
I'm an actor by trade, a trained actor, so that's, I guess, my background. I've done a bit of directing in the past, and weirdly enough, I've mainly directed a lot of non-actors, so that seems to have been a skill that I've acquired over the years. And I think, you know, as an actor as well, you acquire a lot of different skills, and dramaturgy is one of those. So I guess that was something that I brought to the table as well in terms of working with the script that Brodie wrote.
Yeah. Right. So how did it happen, Brodie? You know, like all of a sudden you knew Marissa. Why did you go to her or did you have this conversation with her before?
Sure. Marissa was working with Bell Shakespeare over in Sydney at the time, doing work with them. And I'd seen Marissa in some other works as well as being friends personally. And when I wrote the work, the work is a queer work. You know, it's definitely about experiences between men. And it was important to me that when we put it on, that it wasn't niche in that way, because you know the themes that we talk about around consent and sexual trauma aren't just experienced by queer people; they're experienced by the whole population. And so it was important to have some alternative perspectives in that. Never mind the fact that the work is also autobiographical, and when you're going to present an autobiographical work, it's super important that it's not just you getting up there and re-experiencing and going through like a therapy, basically. It had to be something that, and I needed support to see through the work. And Marissa was, you know, incredible in supporting me through that and to help us put together something that was really ours. And that, you know, I laugh about it now where I say, look, if Marissa hadn't been involved, basically what you'd be coming to see is me doing a TED talk in my underwear. whereas now what we've got is something incredibly potent and something that audiences have responded to very potently.
Now, you were doing Shakespeare.
Yes.
How different? Or, you know, like we were talking about Shakespeare earlier, how he's still so relevant today, and you know, like every time you see a play, you can pull something out of it that's happening right at this moment in the world. Did you get that with thinking about what Brodie was offering, you to do with him? Were you getting a feeling of what you were doing with Bell Shakespeare that, you know, like all of a sudden this is an interesting, you know, because it's coming out in the play that I'm doing in Shakespeare?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting when you're working on one project and another project comes up. Ultimately, they end up feeding each other in some ways. And I think whenever you're working on something, your brain is just opened up to the possibility of so many things. And I think when working on something like Shakespeare...
Oh, what was the play you were doing?
I was touring a few different plays them last year. Yep. And one of which was a version of Macbeth, so that was one of them.
One of my favourites, actually.
Yes, it is a good one. It's a good one. But, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, you know, Shakespeare was one of the first writers that really started writing about humans as they really are in all of their complexity instead of just stock
characters.
Totally.
You know, like, and all the flaws, God, you know, like how he worked out, you know, like all of that. Well, that's what made him a genius, wasn't it? You know, like picking up on the madness of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So what, you know, like, tell us more about it. You know, sure. Like how did it develop? What is it? And as you said, it's about yourself.
Yes. So, approximately 8 years ago, I was raped by my best friend. Sorry, actually, I should have put a trigger warning on the top of that statement and probably should put one on the rest of this interview, that we do discuss matters of sexual trauma and survival of those things, so you know, mentions of rape and violence. So that happened many years ago, and my sort of journey around trying to sort of come to terms with that was challenged by the fact that I hadn't really understood that topic in the context that society presents it to us, you know, where it is, it's seen in a very particular way, you know, that narrative of what a rape victim might look like or what a rape victim might say or, you know, how they present. So, you know, a lot of conversation about when you're a man, you know, it's not necessarily an active conversation. When you're a gay man, it is an active conversation, but in not the best way. And, you know, then again, you know, it wasn't something that was necessarily incredibly violent. It was someone who was known to me, and all those sorts of things made it challenging for me to recover from. And, what that created was a bit of a schism, I suppose, between someone who I was sort of presenting to sort of manage this highly sexualized queer culture we live in, and then, you know, when I was going home and by myself and trying to understand, you know, how I was dealing with those things. So I was living in Sydney and I wrote the first draft of the work, which, you know, nearly two years ago now, and I sent that out to some mentors who suggested it was worth, you know, pushing forward, and then sort of did a redraft and took it to Marissa to give me some advice, and then approach her to see if she'd be interested in being the director dramaturge on the work.
Now, all of a sudden, you know, Shakespeare thrown in here, and as I said, how it relates. Macbeth, you know, like the relationship that he has with his mother is, is that Hamlet?
Yeah, Hamlet.
That's Hamlet. Oh, yeah, okay. So I'm going in the wrong direction. Because it's almost, you know, like it could be a similar, you know, not the same, but it could be, you know, like, and that what I was looking for with Shakespeare.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, the masks piece, you know, like the way that Shakespeare works with masks, and, I mean, that sort of As You Like It, maybe, you know, that 12th, you know, that 12th night kind of thing, you know, if you're going to.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think one of the things that that we do in the show is also investigating, I guess, what the public sees versus what are private moments, and that is something that Shakespeare very much investigates as well in terms of, I guess, you know, the inner workings of the human being, but even in terms of, you know, the way he structures his work in terms of asides and letting you know, the audience into the inner workings of, you know, someone's thought processes or their emotions.
And have you performed it anywhere else?
We have, yeah. We premiered it last year in the Adelaide Feast Festival, the queer cultural festival over there. I'm overwhelmed by the response.
Yeah.
Amazing. We both were able to be there and speak to audience members afterward who, you know, the response, it was beyond my wildest dreams, and people able to share. We had people come back, you know, to talk to us about what was going on in their lives. People felt free to feel the emotions they're feeling, and that was a really important thing about the work, is that it's about, you know, being free to feel the emotions you feel about these things as they change, because they do change. And often when you have these conversations in real life, people are very keen to, you know, oh, it's okay and everything's fine, and sort of and try and sort of cordon off those conversations, whereas our audience members are given free rein to feel whatever they feel and express that.
Are you worried, though, that the subject matter might turn people off of coming to see you?
Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, that was something which was very much on my mind in taking on the show. And I guess it is a concern, but I guess to assure people, I think that we've worked on the show in such a way that it's incredibly accessible. And yes, you know, we do put a trigger warning on the show. There is dark content, and it can be an emotional experience for people. But it's also very funny, and Brody has a lot of fun doing the show, and I think that's a really important thing to point out.
That's the one thing that I find fun with Brody is that there's always a smile, you know, like, and you know, he's pushing the boundaries, as he said. You know, my last show was a little bit out there, a bit avant-garde, but you do it, you know, like, you're not caught up with that whole avant-gardeness. You're a very much a happy, free spirit, yeah, aren't
it's,
you?
It's super important for people to be aware that, you know, and I this is a conversation I very much had with my parents and my family before this show went up, which was along the lines of, what you're about to see is not who I am, it's who I've been. And I want you to know that I'm okay. This isn't about, this show is about sharing, you know, that journey and allowing people to see themselves within it and see themselves on that process and identify and feel like they're heard and they're understood and that they can relate to something and that they're not alone.
And have your parents seen it?
My father and my stepmother saw it back in Adelaide. That's where they're based.
Oh, that's right. You're from Adelaide.
That's right. Yes, I am. So they came and saw it. And you know, we're incredibly supportive.
Yeah. And what did they say after it?
They had it's an interesting response. Because bless them. Yeah, they're my dad's response was classic. Oh, well, it's always, yeah, it's one of those things when you talk about your family. My dad's response was hilarious, which was, you know, he bought me a beer and made the statement that, you know, reminded him of an experience with my grandfather who did some karaoke and someone bought him a beer and said, look, this beer isn't because, you know, you're massively talented, you're an amazing singer. It's because, you know, you clearly had balls to do that show. And so, and that's a reality. You know, I'm not a trained actor. I didn't go to the VCA, and I'm this is definitely an autobiographical work. And Marissa has done so much work with me to get me to a place where I can present a work, you know, on stage, as close to professionally as I could possibly reach. So it's not about, you know, me being an incredibly talented performer. It's actually about the guts it takes to get up there and tell the story, which I only half identify with because I'm not nervous doing the show because the show is important. I believe the messages are important because we need to be having these conversations more openly and more often. So we do put trigger warnings on the show, but I'm proud of the fact that a lot of our audience members who came along did stay and they did feel comfortable and they did feel, you know, relieved and they felt educated and they felt, you know, they felt that insight and they felt that reward and they felt that connection to the work. You know, we're not here to confront or challenge people as much as we are there to create community and to allow community to unite over this stuff.
I think it takes a lot of courage to tell your story firstly, Brody, but then also, is that why you brought Marissa, I suppose, into it? Is that because, I suppose, it gives it a slightly more objective sort of view on how to present it to everybody else? I mean, this is your Brody's story, and I suppose if it was just left up to Brody, that, you know, everything is all about Brody and your story, which is not, it would have been different, I suppose, to bringing Marissa into it and then bringing that more so objective and then more trying to, I suppose, tell the story to other people a bit more broadly. Is that what you saw, Brody, in bringing Marissa into it? Or
it was a part of it. I think actually it wasn't necessarily a part of the approach, but it was definitely part of the process that came out.
But also it would be because, she loves working with people that aren't actors.
Yeah.
And to teach them.
Loves? Do you love them?
Obviously she must. She'd be doing it.
It's just an interesting, challenge. Yeah. You don't have the language with a non-actor that you would normally have with an actor, and, you know, it forces you to kind of work in a way that you wouldn't normally, which is sometimes really great, sometimes it's not so great. Mm. But I do find it quite an exciting challenge, and it's also like it's super interesting because, you know, you'll be working with somebody who's not an actor and your expectations might be, Lord knows what your expectations are, but you're always, you know, you're always surprised and, yeah, you know, and it's always really exciting to see somebody grow.
Yeah, and Brody was saying is that he learnt so much and you know, expressed so much more from having you on board.
Yeah, I guess so.
you're a genius.
Yeah, being on stage by yourself is a challenge, and you know, and it, it required skills I hadn't even dreamed of. You know, I hadn't even thought about the fact that I need to know how to protect my voice for 4 nights straight. You know, and all those things, you know, and just how to, I think what was really great about when we worked together was to get to a place where I felt like I was able to be interrogated about the work. Because when it's so personal, I think that's the challenge. And, you know, when I've spoken to other people who've thought about doing something like this, a great piece of advice I got from a mentor, you know, who said, you know, when I sent it out, they went, great, book the venue, get your date, and know that you've got a date where you're going to be on stage doing this thing. You've got between now and then to get it worked out. See a psychiatrist, go see a nutritionist, do what you've got to do, get some support around you so that when you are, by the time you're doing it, you're okay to do it as many times as possible because you're going to want to do it for a long period of time. And I'm glad that advice came, because by the time Marissa came on board and we really sat down with the script, and when we first did it, the script was an hour read. That's not fit. You can't put an hour read on stage. So, you know, I couldn't have made it. I wouldn't have been able to speak for that long, you know, at that rate. So it then meant that Marissa had to ask me questions about, is this valid? What is this? What are you trying to say here? And those were such good conversations that allowed me to get to a completely new space. All those things were just so priceless, and the work wouldn't be what it is without us having engaged in that work together.
But, you know, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, Brody's last work was about consent and, I suppose, negotiation between people around consent. And, I mean, if you look at the evolution of the way we worked together, was quite funny, because to start with, it was very slowly, softly, because I needed him to know I'm not here to like destroy your work, but it was a process. And now it's at a point where it's just like, nah, Brody, just gotta go.
Nope.
You know. Yeah. So but that was a process.
As well as directing, mm-hmm. and you were editing as well, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Because everyone needs to be edited.
Well, you know, and I think anybody would do it if they're writing an autobiographical show, is just get everything out at once, which is a great part of the process, mm-hmm. but you just can't put that on stage.
Yep.
You know, you need craft.
But what was lovely was when we did the show in Adelaide, it came in, I think, like 30, 35 minutes, which gave us a lot of time to speak to the audience after the show, which was wonderful. But the feedback that we got at that time was more. You know, media wanted more, audiences wanted more, and we went, well, that's the best piece of feedback you can possibly get. Like, you know, not less and not, oh, it's enough. It's the people going, no, I want to spend more time in this experience.
Right.
I mean, I want more from that.
What's happened here?
Yeah, we have.
So between Adelaide and now this performance, you've added a little bit more to this.
There's a bit more content in. You know, we got that sort of, coming in Adelaide, it was kind of like we got into the driver's seat and then we just drove for that period of time. And it was kind of straight down the line. It really had that. And it had, you know, light and shade in there, but we've kind of really pulled those extremes out now and given a bit more comedy and a bit more drama, like, you know, allowed it to kind of take a bit more of a different journey. Would you?
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree. Yeah.
And where's it on?
On at the Butterfly Club.
Right.
Next Wednesday through Sunday, so Feb 7 to 11. We're on at 7 p.m. every night.
And what's it called again?
It's called Burlesque by Force.
And Brody John is the artist performing on the night, so obviously go to Butterfly Club to book tickets, and sounds amazing.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see it. So all the
we also have
best.
A very talented lighting designer working with us.
Yes, we do.
Stephen
Moylan.
Stephen Moylan, he's from Adelaide, and he's just a beautiful human to work with.
Love you if you're listening, Stephen.
Yeah, so if anybody in Melbourne is looking for a stage manager, an excellent stage manager and lighting guy, I highly recommend Stephen. He is just a very nice human to work with, and it's important that in our line of work that we work with nice humans.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you are on Joy 94.9 at Sunday Arts Magazine.